Okay. Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite sick cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
It's not as cool when you're opening up a bottle of water, is it?
Yeah, it's fall camp, man. Well, you're just hydrating for camp. That's all you're doing.
That's it. I will say this, man, and I appreciate everybody that's been asking. I got hit with a... I don't know if it's the trifecta. Have you ever seen that movie, The Perfect Storm, with George Clooney out there in the ocean?
It's been a while.
Three hurricanes coming in, you know. Mm-hmm. I got hit with COVID, strep, and they didn't run the flu, but by God, I probably had it too, you know. So I've got the three-headed monster, but we're 30 days away from college football, Mike. I cannot. Like, if this was April or May, see ya. I wouldn't be here. But we're 30 days away. We got coaches talking. We got kids reporting. This is the time of the year. There's no way in hell I'm missing any of this, Mike.
Yep. Well, you know who else ain't missing it, Shane? Don't matter.
Who's that?
If it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, June, July, August, December, January, don't matter.
Cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR, Shane. He has gifted a membership this time. It's Michael, not me, but another Michael.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz.
And Steven up, not to be outdone, Chase.
Oh, there he is.
He's on a streak of his own.
Way showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Shout out Steven up, Shane. He gifted Prometheus. Shrugged. Prometheus.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy. Steven up. You know what?
The cousins are ready, ain't they?
Yeah.
They are.
You know what they got to be ready for, though, Shane?
What's that?
A loaded show. Yes. Absolutely loaded.
Yes.
But before we get into all that, don't forget, brought to you by MyBookie all football season long. The website's mybookie.ag. Just go over there, put in an initial deposit with that promo code SEC. Doesn't get any easier than that, Shane. Mm-mm. They will match your initial deposit over at mybookie.ag. And I got some betting lines. We got an updated one, a very important one, but we'll hang on to that for a minute, Shane, because I got to open with this. Yes. I thought we were done with the Hugh Freeze jokes and trolling his ass, but Beamer still got one. Let's kick it over to Beamer.
This might have been a request from Pat DeMarco, but what was your lowest round of the summer?
See, I get in trouble. There's another coach that's gotten in trouble in this league, and I saw Kirby on vacation. He asked if I was playing golf, and I said, yeah. He's like, whatever you do, don't post your score, man, as well. But I'm not going to get into specifics on that. Hale, Pat knows where to find me as well. But I hit it pretty good this summer. But that's the problem with my golf game is I played Friday, and I put the clubs up, and I won't touch them again until – late January, early February. I hit it okay.
All right, Chase.
So, don't bust your scores, Mike.
We're not done with the whole Hugh Freeze trolling, and I'm here for it. I'm glad I'm not on an island anymore.
No, absolutely not. I saw NC State coach. He had a hole in one. I don't know if you saw that video, but half the comments were about Hugh Freeze's golf game. So that's where we're at. The other half was North Carolina State saying, when's practice?
Shout out Cousin Tony. Shane says the Shanes just can't help themselves.
Nah, so they can't. I love the ribbon. I love it.
All right, so what's the big news, Shane? Of course, all across the SEC, we covered it emergency style yesterday. Yep. DJ Lagway, what's the latest? Here's a quick one from Billy. I can't do more than 30 seconds. I might fall asleep. Here's Billy Napier, update on old DJ.
We could ask you about DJ. What's the concern level for him, and how much do you think he's going to be able to do in these?
Yeah, I think he'll be – I mean, again, he's day-to-day. The good thing is that he, I think we're about a week removed, you know, so in general he's made a lot of quick progress, but it will be something that we're monitoring And hopefully as we go, his ability to participate in practice will be a little bit more each opportunity that we get going forward.
So what do you take away from that, Shane? Because obviously what you want to hear, of course, you know, I heard even when we did that emergency yesterday, why are you even covering this? This ain't no big deal.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a big deal, I feel like Napier would come out here and shit on it and say, he's fine, he's good. But I, again, it wasn't doom and gloom either, but that wasn't really that optimistic, I didn't think.
No. And if you listen to this whole thing, it seems to, it felt to me like it got worse and worse as it went on. And I'm not too optimistic here with DJ Lagway. And again, is he going to be on that football field this season? Absolutely. Will he be out there week one? I think there's a really good shot, Mike. But it's one injury after another, and it sounds to me like multiple locations, you know. So it's not just one particular part that he's having trouble with. I'm a little concerned because this is a Florida Gator football team that we've talked about since we saw this schedule last year. I mean, you got it up here on the screen. I mean, look at so USF, not a pushover. You got September 13th. You got LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M. We don't have time, and I hate to say this, we don't have time for DJ Lagway to limp into this thing. We need him at full speed, because if we don't, then all of a sudden that momentum you gained at the end of the season last year, I feel like you lose it before we're even in October.
Let's say DJ, would you rest him at all for LSU? I mean, if we're having these conversations, it's a little – obviously premature, but does that change anything for that huge game, that huge trip at LSU week three of the season?
Well, it's a slippery slope, man, because do you practice him? I mean, because right now you're working on, and you, if you hear the coaches talk right now, they're talking about chemistry. They're talking about, you know, evolving as a football team from day one to game one. And I feel like if you lose some of those reps to DJ and then he's not even out there week one or two, then all of a sudden, you know, you may trip up. I'm not saying it's impossible. Ask Nick Saban if you can almost lose to South Florida. I mean, it can happen. And I think it's just, you got a lot more smart people in that room. You know exactly what's wrong with DJ or what's not wrong with him. And I feel like, if he's 80%, you're rolling with him. But if he's not, I feel like you've got to give those reps to Harrison and get this thing rolling a different way.
Yeah, but I mean, I think every rep he misses is potentially huge.
Yeah.
Because this is his first year as the true starting quarterback. He missed all of spring. I mean, it's compounded. You know what I mean? So let's just say he misses the first week, which he may not.
Yes.
But they open tomorrow. And literally, that's what Billy Napier said today.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like DJ Lagway is going to be, you know, just guns a-blazing tomorrow. Right. Now, he could be. Hell, you remember he got hurt against Georgia. I was like, good night. He's probably done for the year. He was back in like a week's time. You know what I mean? So, or maybe a little over a week. But any practice he miss, I think is huge right now, considering all the time he's missed this offseason.
Let me ask you this, Mike. I mean, college football, and don't get me wrong, I've heard nothing but glowing remarks about DJ and the community and everything he's done for the Florida Gators and the Florida Gator family. But at the end of the decision, it is a business decision at the end of the day. And you wonder if, you know, if I'm an agent of DJ and I'm saying, hey, man, if you get hurt, this could screw you up in the NFL draft. This could screw you up, you know, and A, B, and C. I do think that there's going to be somebody in that camp that may be pulling them back a little bit as well. So, again, we're not behind the scenes. We may be overreacting. That's we have a tendency to do that on this show, Mike. But I feel like there's a checks and balances here. And Billy wants what's best for the Florida and DJ, but DJ needs to worry about what's best for him too, because this isn't his last football season.
Shane's already looking ahead to the 27 NFL draft.
Be safe. Just be safe. Put him on the bench.
Oh, buddy. Okay. Well, maybe on the bench to start camp. Shade, $1 million question here. Josh Heupel didn't even wait for the damn question. He said, I'm going to address this Boo Carter head on. Here's the latest on old Boo Carter, who sounds like steps have been taken to where he's closer to being a huge, you know, he's a huge impact player potentially for the Vols.
Yeah.
He's not gone. So, you know, steps in the right direction, but certainly doesn't sound 100% like Boo Carter is going to be a member of the team.
Got great leadership on this team. I know at some point I'm going to get a question about Boo, so I'm going to address that right now. Boo is a part of our team here. There's some things that that he's got to accomplish to get back on the field with us. Don't have a set timeline on that. Our leadership council has been a part of those things, those discussions with me and with Boo. I'm proud of what they've done. They care and love Boo, and you know, want him to be his best too. And you know, through this, I think Boo sees that as well. And you know, at the end of the day, us collectively continuing to grow here through the course of training camp. I will be the one that will handle, take questions on Boo.
No questions except for him. But I'm going to ask you, Shane.
Yeah.
Heupel doesn't tell us what to do. What do you think, given that we know that now? Again, it sounds like he's kind of leaving it up to the players. He's got to earn his way back in that locker room, on the field. Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Where are you at with Boo Carter, who, again, he's scheduled to play both ways?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a huge impact player, and even special teams. I mean, he could literally be on every unit for Tennessee. This is a huge, huge impact player. But based on those comments, it sounds like currently Boo Carter does not have the full trust of the players, and to me that's an issue.
It is an issue. And we had Austin Price there at Media Days, and what did he say? Whose team is this, Mike? Do you remember who he said?
He said the tight end Kitzelman.
Absolutely. And that shows me just how much Josh Heupel believes in the leadership of this football squad. And so the fact that you've got a potential – I mean, hell, you said Dark Horse Heisman in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? This is an all-SEC. This is a future NFL player, and I feel like his future at this university is truly in the hands of this leadership there at Tennessee, and I love that, man. Because what did we question all offseason, Mike? The leadership that was in that locker room. I mean, there was rumors floating around about kids trying to get deals before that Ohio State college football playoff team. That's not what we want going into this season. So if it's got to be player-led, it's got to be player-led. But I do think they're going to let Boo out there, you know? But they're going to let him sweat it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And then the comments I didn't think were really worth playing, but Heupel did kind of talk about the quarterback competition. He wants a starter named sooner rather than later, but he's not going to force the issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of something that we have said on this show. It's not like the coaches, you know, are in the back room and just flipping a coin here. It's, he noted that, you know, the players got to see it too, so. Yeah. I was pretty interested to hear. I don't know how many of the players you caught, Shane, but a lot of them were very high on Merklinger.
Yeah.
Again, none of them said, you know, that's our guy or anything like that, and they probably still don't know old Joey that well. I mean, I based on all accounts, he's done everything he can to get to know these teams, organizing events, getting to know the players. So I'm not questioning that. But of course, one guy's been there for multiple years. One guy's been there for a couple months. So. Any thoughts on Tennessee? They just opened camp and this quarterback competition, and how quickly do you think they'll name it, if at all, before the season opener?
I think they will name it, but this is one of those, you know, say what you want about Syracuse. Some people think that it's going to be a tough opponent. Some people think that it won't, but there is a competitive edge because there is tape on one and not on the other, but not in this system. So I don't really think that there's a huge benefit to waiting, but I do think, however, that this quarterback race is a little closer than I thought. I felt coming into Media Days this was going to be Aguilar's deal, and the closer we get, I really do think that this is a true quarterback battle right now.
Well, speaking of quarterback competition, Shane. Mizzou, I mean, this is potentially the biggest quarterback battle or most impactful, whatever you want to call it. You know, I kind of assumed when they allegedly paid old Bo over $1 million that you know, he's going to be the guy. But the fact Sam Horn got drafted in Major League Baseball and he's still here. And, I mean, I don't know if this had if there's any significance, but Missouri opened practice, and who was the team leader who was leading them? And their chance, Shane, it was old Sam Horn. So do you read anything into that? Does it mean nothing? I don't know. Does that – what does that tell you, if anything?
Well, I mean, Drink was pretty upfront with this one being a 50-50. That's what they were going to do leading into it. But one of the disadvantages to Bomo there is, you know, Sam's been there. Sam's been in that locker room for a couple of years now. And I feel like, I mean, that's a tough job to win over. You know, you're trying to lead this team. You're trying to lead this offense. And you got a guy that you've been pulling for the last couple of seasons, but just keeps getting banged up. So I'm not reading too much into it, but I will say I've been tagged in a lot of practice videos. All three of the quarterbacks look fantastic. So another heated quarterback race right here in Columbia.
Well, hey, since you've been tagged in all these, but you know, give us the lowdown. I mean,
they all look great, man.
Who's winning the comp? But just based on the videos you've been tagged in,
I would say I don't know, man. They all look good.
No, you got to name one. Who the hell cares, Shane? No one's going to hold you to this. I'm asking you in the clips you've seen. Who is Cousin Shane naming the starting quarterback? And you got to pick one.
I'd probably say Bo right now. Okay. I'm giving him
Sam Horn it is. You heard it here, folks. Go bet on it. I was just trying to set you up for that.
I figured you had some agenda here.
Hey, shout out to Jason. M-I-Z, please let it be Horn. See, that's interesting, Shane, that the Sam Horn, again, big arm talent, has been banged up. I don't know. That's interesting. I would think the fans kind of want Bo, but I don't know. I guess it just depends on who you ask.
I don't know, man. I mean, they wanted Sam last year at the start. Was it last year or the year before? You know, I can't remember. I think we wanted Brady. Yeah, he struggled, and there was a Sam Horn. So I think there's been some folks that gotten on the optimistic Sam Horn bandwagon a few times over there, but obviously with the injuries and coming off that, he looked great. In the throws that I've seen, doesn't look like a kid that had Tommy John surgery. So, yeah, I mean, but it's way too early.
Yeah, well, it's not early for Caleb and Benny. They said, give us Bo.
They're out already.
Give us death. Yeah. You know what? So, Bo it is. But you know who it's not, Shane?
What?
It's not the NCAA. Come on! Those SOBs here.
Spineless bastards.
Yeah, what's the latest? Let's jump down to...
Release my boy!
Yeah, South Carolina. They're still... In January, Shane.
Yeah.
They got a commitment from Rasul Faison, running back, Utah State. Mm-hmm. Hell, practice already open. We still don't have confirmation from the NCAA. They're going to approve his waiver for years. He literally did not see the field. Let's kick it over to Shane Bieber with the latest.
Shane, not to sound like a broken record, but anything new on Faison?
No. I wish I had a different answer for you. He texted me earlier, and I called him back talking about Sewell, and I was on the phone with some people yesterday trying to get some things done from that standpoint, and got a lot of respect for Charlie Baker, who heads up the NCAA, and I'm confident that they will do the right thing when that time is.
Is legal action now becoming more of a possibility? Do you have to kind of look at that?
It's probably a better question for Sewell. I know you guys, I guess, will see him on Thursday, but right now our thought process is we're full speed ahead, planning on him being with us, and optimistic that the NCAA will make the right decision.
Free Sewell!
I'm never confident in the NCAA to make the right decision.
The hell no! They ain't even worried. They're more focused on Central Michigan right now. They could care less about South Carolina. It's a shame that. And I mean, Coach did go on to say, we're going to practice like normal. Don't be surprised if he don't just suit up. So F it, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if the NCAA can punish people anymore. I truly don't. So
no,
this is going to be something interesting to see. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. We're you know, 30 days out, essentially, yeah, from the season. We need an answer here.
We're just going to keep tagging the shit out of them. That's what we're going to do. We'll eventually get it.
Oh, man. I just think that's crazy, though, isn't it?
It is crazy. And again, but it's stories like this is why the NCAA is where they're at, you know? So you want to put the student athlete first. And I feel like sometimes they lose sight of that, focusing on the dollar sign. So it's like the ACC just slowly rotting away is what the NCAA is doing.
Well, you know who also hates the NCAA, Shane?
Who's that?
Poncho Outdoors. Come on, check them out.
Yes.
PonchoOutdoors.com. Promo code SEC. See what we did there, Shane? We keep the promo code the same, make it easy for you. If you head on over to PonchoOutdoors.com and use that promo code SEC, $10 off your first order and free shipping.
Yes.
Shane, they sent Shane some stuff. They're sending me some stuff. They got all kinds of different styles, 4 different styles for every single shirt.
Yeah.
They got over there at Poncho Outdoors, some really, really quality stuff. It's a perfect shirt. It's breathable. Fits good. Feels even better, Shane. That's PonchoOutdoors.com/SEC for $10 off. And free shipping. You ain't gonna get a better deal than that. You know what?
You want to look like a man? Buy for Poncho. I tell you right now, ain't nobody gonna question you when you walk into a room. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know who they're not questioning down at College Station, Shane?
Who's that?
Casey Concepcion. Let's go, Mike Elko.
Yeah, what an unbelievable playmaker. You know, when we went up against him as a freshman, he was really doing it all. He was lining up as a slot. They were running a lot of, like, vertical go balls with him, and he was having a lot of success doing that. Then they were bringing him into the backfield and handing him the ball as a running back. They were doing jet sweep stuff with him. He was really just a guy that they were trying to put in position to impact the game as a true freshman, and that obviously stood out, and he was a guy that we paid a lot of attention to and when we played him because of that. And then I think he's absolutely lived up to it. I think his work ethic, his professionalism, and his ability to impact the game is exactly what we had hoped it would be when we recruited him here. And so I think he's ready to go on and have a really, really big year this year for us.
Now, Shane, I know you hate A&M, but, you know, anybody you listen to, Cole Kublik, Stephen Lassen, you know, experts of experts, they say, man, this Casey Concepcion, NC State, Mike Elko played against him when he was Duke head coach. He knows what kind of asset he is. Remember, we had David Nuno on the show. Go check out that interview at SEC Media Days. Mm-hmm. And I said, who's a go-to target for Mr. Marcel Reed? Without hesitation, he says, Casey Concepcion. That's our man. And again, I know this is like just camp talk here.
Yeah.
But does that change anything for you, for A&M, to know that they potentially have one of the biggest impact receivers in the conference?
A little bit. A little bit, Mike. And the reason is, double down later with Marcel Reed saying the same comments. Lit up like a Christmas tree when they brought up KC. So I feel like you got a weapon like that. There's just a natural buzz in camp already. But also, Coach Elko just spoke highly of the progress that this football team has made this offseason. And not, like he says, not to get coach speak, but we're bigger, faster, and stronger. And, you know, this was a team that was undefeated in the conference for quite some time last year. And now you're telling me they're better? How am I not supposed to? I try not to get on that bandwagon. I know the A&M fan. I get tagged. There's somebody tagged me and said, keep my name out of your damn mouth, you know, or keep my wife's name. You remember that one? It's like every time I mention Texas A&M. But, man, they keep coming out with pressers like this, brother. It's going to be hard not to get a little excited about what the Aggies have.
Yep, and all I see in the comments, Shane, and it's fair. 8-4, 8-4, 8-4. All right. How about this one, Shane? Lane Kiffin setting the standard down here.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely 100% right. We've been questioning him at all offseason. Top three winningest program since COVID is Ole Miss Rebels out of the SEC.
You know, and I said it at Media Day, just to be in a position where we have these attendance records being set, sold out season tickets already, you know, 3 10-win seasons in the last 4 years. You know, the previous 51 years, there was three top 12 finishes in the last 4 years, and, you know, won the previous 51 years is really gives me perspective about what our players and staff have been able to do here. So, you know, that's the standard that we've created. It's the expectations that we have. 21 wins in the last 2 years. So, you know, these players have been talked to a lot about that, and that's hopefully why they came here, was understanding that, you know, what we've been able to achieve and the level that we want to play at and expect to play at. You know, three winningest programs since COVID in the SEC, including the new programs, are Georgia, Alabama, and Ole Miss, and that's our expectation and standards of how we expect to play. There'll be a lot of competition in this game.
So based on those comments, Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is exactly what you want to hear. I know it's just talk, but hell, he's 100% right. I mean, they have set a new standard, and we sit here and say, well, 8-4 is a good year. Hell no, that ain't a good year for Lane Kiffin and company. I believe that would be his worst year since the COVID year.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess 2022. But, again, that – maybe we are discounting Ole Miss just because they're so low in returning production.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're eyeing anything other than the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think in that camp, in that room, that's exactly what they're doing. Now, there was a reporter asked him earlier saying, you know, we were so excited about last season, you know, is it an advantage that you're not being talked about nationally? And, of course, I'm paraphrasing, you know, but Lane Kiffin turned it back on him and said that again, this is the standards that they created, that when they're not in top 10 talk, it's a disappointment. And we weren't saying something like that about Ole Miss 10 years ago. So hell, 5 years ago. So I feel like, yes, that's the standard that Lane Kiffin and company have created there. And if 8.5 is a low number, then things are pretty damn good in Oxford. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I saw one of the cousins say this. I was trying to find it. I couldn't see who exactly said it. He made a bold prediction in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Simmons, first team SEC quarterback. What, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, what kind of confidence level do you have that Austin Simmons can get there given what Kiffin just said? You know, we're always winning. You look at that schedule. They could easily, conceivably, get to 10-2.
Yeah,
and their outstanding track record of developing quarterbacks. Scale of 1 to 10. How surprised would you be if Austin Simmons was first team All SEC quarterback by the end of the year?
I feel like this is a loaded quarterback conference this year, mm-hmm. So I would say probably 7.
Okay.
But you know, I do think that if they do have success, it's going, you know, it's kind of a weird situation. You know, Ole Miss, it feels like when they have successful seasons, we have a tendency to give credit to Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. And then when something bad happens, we pick one or two players that kind of fell short. So I don't know how that plays out, but definitely if they're going to be 10-2, It will have to be because of Austin Simmons, you know, and he's not Jackson Dart. He's not going to sit out there and he's not going to run around like crazy. This is a guy that has plenty of weapons around him. I mean, they got a loaded wide receiver room. They got a loaded tight end room. You know, I feel like this is a team that could put up some serious numbers. And yeah, that will reflect on Austin Simmons for sure.
Cousin Benny says he won't get it because everyone will vote Arch once he ties his shoes.
Damn.
A lot of people in the comments are hating on him because he's a lefty. I don't think that necessarily matters, but I mean, Tua was lefty. Of course, he was injury prone, but he's pretty
lefty,
damn good.
Huh? Yeah. Steve, maybe I'm out on him now. No. Austin Slimmons.
Jeez Louise, appreciate you. Remember, for 3 months, if Shane had COVID, Can he even taste Cracker Barrel now?
Yes. You know, it's weird. I don't know how that shit works. But crack, I got, so the first time I ever got it, real quick. I mean, hell, we got time, right? So first time, yeah, I'll be quick. So they tell me I have COVID, right? The first time I ever got it. Dude, my life, at that moment, it felt like the Muppets were, you know, I just heard wah, 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 man. And all I could think about is I'm dead. Fat guy. They're killing all these fat guys doing COVID. So here I am. I'm shocked. Calling mom, telling her I love her, you know. So I go home. The only thing that happened was I lost my smell and taste. Ate broccoli three times that week. So I was like, well, shit, if I can't taste it, might as well eat healthy. That was the most broccoli I ever had in my entire life, and I thought it'd be good for me. But since then, not had any problems with smell or taste on these COVIDs. Broccoli.
Healthiest you've been in your life. You know what?
Seriously, I was like, I was making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I was like, what am I doing? Let's just eat some broccoli. It's just, I don't need a peanut. I can't even taste the jelly. So,
hey, shout out Sugar Cane Daddy. What a name. $5. Appreciate you. Ole Miss and Lane are both getting comfortable with the fact he's the best coach they're going to get. And Ole Miss is going to be the best job he's going to get. Ooh, what the thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. I don't know how this saga plays out. I really do think Lane may be an Ole Miss forever. And why would he leave? If he could do anything and everything he wants, he controls that program. He's almost like a GM and a coach. So, yeah, I don't see him. The longer he stays there, the more I see him not leaving.
Yeah, I mean, we basically did the same thing with Nick Saban, right?
Yeah.
Every year was, he's good. Well, when he started there was, man, how soon is he going to get into the NFL?
Yeah.
And then it was, how soon is he going to retire?
Uh-huh.
And we did that for about 8 years on this show until we finally did it. maybe Kiffin is the same because he did open. You know, sometimes I don't really trust these coaches. I think it's kind of obvious if you pay attention. But he did open. You know, his mom just tragically passed. Yeah. His dad passed. So, you know, he just noted, you know, he's feeling the love in Oxford, so to speak. He's got all his family there. So, I mean, you can't say that he hasn't done everything in his power to kind of put roots down in Oxford. You know what?
And this one right here, prime example. Coach Kelly down here, averaging 10 wins a year, just like Lane Kiffin in Oxford. We're ready to put a statue out front. There, we're ready to fire Coach Kelly. So, yeah, I mean, you again, LSU, can you win national championships easier than potentially Ole Miss? Potentially. But, why? I mean, I think at this point in this NIL world, why? Why risk it? I feel like Lane Kiffin learned a lot leaving Tennessee, going to USC. That was a tough pill to swallow as he's fighting for his life down in FAU. I feel like when he knew he got an opportunity, he was going to stay put. So, yeah, they may have a coach for life there.
Mm-hmm. All right, hey, so the only other thing that I've got, Shane, so maybe cousins want to shoot some questions, but we can spend as much time as we want on this. I just thought it was interesting. I don't know what changed exactly, but the betting line has shifted, Shane.
Yeah.
Auburn, no longer favored on the road in the opener against Baylor. So, again, this is Friday, August 29th. Long way to go. Betting line could shift back because Baylor is just a 1.5-point favorite. It's about what Auburn was before. I mean, they weren't like a touchdown favorite and something drastically changed, but Baylor is the favorite by 1.5 points currently. So here's my question to you, Shane.
Yes.
I've got a couple games here. They're all week one in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go through all these first. But the question to you, Cousin Shane.
Yeah.
Which game are you least confident that the SEC team wins in the opener? And here's the game. So I'm obviously Auburn at Baylor. That's top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
LSU at Clemson. LSU can't win a damn opener to save their life. Clemson is apparently God's gift to football, even though they lose four games last year. And Dabo, you know, that's a great year for Dabo apparently these days. Syracuse, Tennessee in Atlanta. Tennessee is a 13.5-point favorite. I forgot to mention Clemson is a 3.5-point favorite at home over LSU. Texas, mighty Texas at Ohio State. Ohio State, a 2.5-point favorite at home. Bama on the road at Florida State. Bama's a 13.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech, South Carolina, also in Atlanta. South Carolina, a 9.5-point favorite. And then I'm throwing these two wild cards. I know these are not like the big non-conference showdowns, but I think these are legitimate to throw in this conversation. Mississippi State at Southern Miss. Mississippi State's a 12.5-point favorite. And then Toledo at Kentucky. Kentucky's only a 9.5-point favorite. So the question to you, Shane.
Yeah.
Which SEC team are you least confident today wins the opener?
Out of all of them, I would probably say it's a good one. I'm going back and forth between LSU, because.
Right.
And now I think I'm going to go with LSU. I Coach Kelly's not done it since he's been down there. A lot of people are high on Clemson. I'm not saying that they should be, but it is on the road. It's not ideal for Coach Kelly and company going in there. I do like that Nuss stuck around. I feel like that helps them out, you know.
Right.
But that's the one I'm just worried about. Because how many times was I excited about LSU Florida State until I wasn't, you know? And then I had to see that little kid meme again, you know? It's like, can't spell LSU without an L, you know? It's like, no, I don't want to hear that. So that's the one I'm worried about. And I would say a close second would be Texas. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. There's a reason Vegas has you as an underdog. Not saying that Texas can't beat Ohio State in November. I just feel like there's something about that game early on the road that also scares me a little bit. So I go back and forth between those two.
Okay, yeah. No, I think that's completely fair, and I would kind of lean the same. I don't disagree with anything you just said, but I'll probably throw Auburn at the top of the list just because they got to prove it to me.
You know,
we've heard so many things, and this is one where if they struggle on the road early, I mean, it could snowball on them. But, you know, that being said, you should beat this team. Ohio State, Texas, we are talking essentially equal, if not Texas, maybe slightly more talented, but not a huge difference here. Like there should be Auburn, Baylor, and even LSU, Clemson. We can potentially give the edge to LSU in overall talent, but it's not. I don't think it's by a massive margin by any means. So those games. How about?
Well, Donald Britt says Texas will squish Ohio State, and I want to be clear here. I will not have any team outside the SEC winning week one, you know. I'll just tell you now,
I will.
Well, I know you will, because you're negative, Mike. Me, optimistic week one. I really do think that every SEC team will walk away with the victor. It's just which one am I worried about? And I guess probably that's how I should have phrased it. The Texas, you're lying if you're saying you're not worried about it, because the last time those two teams met, Texas lost. I feel like Baylor-Auburn's a great one because Hugh Freeze should win the game, right? You know, but what if he doesn't? Then I would even throw Kentucky in there. I probably shit on Kentucky all off season, and I can't say here that they're going to just smoke Toledo. I mean, there's a real opportunity that you stumble out of the gates as they're trying to figure out who's going to quarterback that damn thing up there. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, Shane, because I did want to ask you of the ones that are the spread is the largest.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping you'd go with one of these, but I understand why you didn't. But again, I also think that point spreads in college football, especially now with the portal and NIL and all this.
Yeah.
They are essentially meaningless. I think they've always been largely the time to take an advantage is now with early spreads. Now 4 or 5 weeks into the season, the odds makers are as sharp as they can get. But let me ask you, of the ones, promo code SEC
right there. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, take advantage. There's of the ones that are double digit or close to it. I'll go through them again. Syracuse, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta. Virginia Tech, South Carolina in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Bama at Florida State. Mississippi State at Southern Miss. And Toledo at Kentucky. Which one of those, even though the spreads are large, which one are you most concerned about the SEC winning?
Toledo, Kentucky, for me. I think Kentucky has revamped their style. This is going to look like old school Kentucky, but I do feel like there may be some growing pains early in the season. And unfortunately, not only do you have Toledo, but you're also looking at Ole Miss there week two. You cannot overlook Toledo. They're expected to win their conference. So, this is a good football team. So, that's the one I'm worried about the most.
Let me ask you this, though. For Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
could that be a good spot to where people like us are doubting you? I mean, any other year, I remember a couple of years ago, Shane, I can't remember who they were playing, but it was some Toledo-like team.
Yeah.
And that was my lock of the week that Kentucky wouldn't cover. And the spread was like 20-something.
Yeah.
I think they beat them by like 38 points. So I was got off to a hot start. But the fact that people like you and I are questioning them.
Yeah.
You got freaking Toledo coming in here. You should smoke their ass. And maybe they will. But does that benefit you at all that there's a lot of doubters out there?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a reason we didn't put a Stoops clip in here, because it was 75% of him saying he's sorry for last year and it's all on him, you know? So, I feel like the Boo Birds would definitely peek in here. I mean, he understands there's pressure up there. Let me reword the question here. So you've got Stoops in Toledo, you got Freeze in Baylor, you've got Kelly and Clemson. I would say, would you say those are the three like most pressured game ones by the coach? Is there any other teams that you would include? Any other coaches? I don't. And I'll say this: Sark and Ohio State. Obviously, that's going to be a big one. But I do think that there's going to be an asterisk after that game, saying, "Hey, we may see this again later in the year." So I don't feel like it has as much pressure as Coach Kelly does going against Clemson. So what would you say the top three are, and who would be your most pressured week one season opener?
Just for the coach, you're asking, right?
Yeah, just for the coach.
Because this is an easy one for me, brother. DeBoer, get his ass out of here if we can't beat Florida State. And again, it's tricky. It's on the road.
Yeah,
they've completely revamped both their styles, so it might be a little difficult to game plan for this. It's Gus Malzahn on offensive coordinator. They bring in a new quarterback who's talking mad trash. People like me picking you to win the SEC. You can still do it if you lose to Florida State, but mm-hmm. again, you're nearly a two touchdown favorite here.
Yeah,
the way last season ended, you lose this one, buddy. and I'm not saying that Alabama loses it.
Yeah,
but the fact that we're all relatively confident that Alabama wins it,
mm-hmm.
hell, we were relatively confident they'd beat Vanderbilt's ass too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you drop this one, all the goodwill that you got in the spring. Hey, Shane Geer, no one exited the portal. Hey, we got Ryan Grubb back. Hey, Ty Simpson, he's our man. All that is in the damn toilet. You lose to Florida State, and what are we gonna hear? Greg McElroy was right. Nick Saban's coming back. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to compound on itself. It's going to be the season from hell in Tuscaloosa if Bama loses week one. That is with 1,000% number one most pressured game.
I'm gonna say I think Coach Kelly. The only reason I'd give Coach Kelly a little room is just because it is Clemson. In fact, I may have him at the two. I think at Hugh Freeze Baylor game, for a couple of reasons. I believe it's on a Friday.
Yep.
So everybody is going to be watching this thing. Well, everybody will witness if you lose it. Let's just put it that way. There may be some people not watching the game, but if they find out the Auburn Tigers are down two scores, then by God, they're going to tune in, because at the end of that thing, there's who do you blame? You went out and handpicked this team, so you can't say, hey, this is the quarterback's fault. Nine times out of ten, you ain't playing Baylor no more. You got to come out here and win this one. So give me Hugh Freeze week one.
He's my number two.
Kelly, I'd go two, and then DeBoer, I'd go three.
I'm going Stoops, number three.
Stoops is close. Four. I'm not worried about Stoops losing his job. I think that's the worst bet on the board right now, is putting that on there. I mean, short of them going 2-10, I just don't see it happening. It's just too much money. And Coach, one thing Coach talked about that I thought was kind of interesting is the uptick in recruiting, because now they got this money to play with. So, you know, that's what he's bitched about the last 10 seasons. So now that he has it, I guess, well, let's see what he can do with it.
Yeah, we're running out of excuses here, you know? He's starting to turn into Hugh Freeze, isn't he?
Golly, where's Nick Roush when you need him, you know? Nice little plug here.
All right, shit. Well, hey, so that's all I got. Anything else? You know, we could still hang out here for a little bit. I know you're feeling under the weather, so I didn't want to push you.
Well, don't forget, tomorrow we will be on Hail or High Water. I'll be on here tomorrow. Could also use a couple of voicemails. I've got a couple of good ones I'm going to roll out tomorrow. So we'll be sure to put that in the show notes. But I look forward to hanging out with everybody. And if you missed it, obviously you can catch. If you wake up with Mike at noon or something, and you're like, hey, I wonder what I missed earlier, you can definitely check that out as well. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up. This is going to be an awesome, awesome season. Be sure to tune in every day, but we got August 1st. We got something special rolling out August 5th. Mike, this will be the last time you see Mike, because he'll be on Netflix and he'll be doing interviews, and we ain't going to have time. So that's why I've started The Hangover, because I knew he's going to be leaving me anyway, and I got to get used to doing solo acts. So, but I look forward to that. But we got a lot of action, man. And now that the kids are here, and I hate to say it, but this is when we start really getting clarity on those quarterback races. This is when we get some injury updates. So be sure to have those notifications on. I noticed Mike went live the other day as soon as he found out about DJ with that injury. Apparently he's had it for 10 days. So I be sure to tune in so that we can bring you the latest action.
Yeah, and you got people scared that I'm leaving now. Way to go, Shane.
Oh, Mike ain't leaving. I'm fucking with it. He ain't going. Sorry, I didn't mean to say the F word. That's Madison, Mom. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we're not going anywhere. No. Stay locked in. We got we still rolled out these interviews, Shane. I posted two more today, probably a couple more tomorrow, trying to get all those out. We got a lot of people wanting to come on the show to do interviews, but I gotta finish this media day stuff too. So hopefully that'll be done fairly soon. And man, yeah, we should be going three episodes a day before long. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. A ton of content coming out. So just be ready. Just be ready, guys and girls.
I'm just excited the football season's here. You know what? So I'm here.
I hate list. No, don't get me wrong. I like a good list. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like a good power ranking. I love that. It's fun talking about coaches on the hot seat and, you know, where's the best road environment and whatever. But, man, this is what it's about. Just listening to these coaches talk. Some of them are just so damn excited that their kids are showing up. You know, it's like they've missed them all summer long, and they finally showed up, and golly, he's got 20 more pounds of muscle on him, you know? So it's, it feels like you could sense that with the coaches, and we've still got more that we haven't got to yet. You know, Sark and Hugh and these guys haven't talked yet. They'll be coming up here soon, so we'll be able to – so you don't have to go through – 80 minutes of Billy Napier telling you how to sleep. We'll find the good clips and put it on that SEC podcast so you don't have to search yourself.
Hey, what about this Cousin Ken? He says, Billy, coach of the year. He said that many times.
Yeah.
And he's a huge Florida fan, but I know he's not a huge Billy fan.
Oh, I know he is.
What's it going to take for old Billy to be coach of the year for Cousin Shane? To win Cousin Shane's vote, what's the record Billy Napier's got to get at to be coach of the year, and maybe take into consideration now that old DJ, right. I shouldn't laugh, but the fact that he's already banged up. So
I'll say this. Uh-huh. I've got an answer. 9-3, but it's got to be – we got to have a big win in there. And when I say big win, I'm looking at a Texas. I'm looking at a Georgia. Those are big wins. So maybe if you can snag one of those, 9-3, you're in. 8-4 if you don't have DJ.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a very successful season because people are going to talk about how tough this schedule is, and it is. But you walk away with this 8-4 and out of start quarterback, then you kind of got to look at the coach and say, you did a hell of a job here.
So, same question, I guess, but you're giving them an extension at both those records, you think?
Yeah, 8-4, 9-3. Yeah, I think Billy keeps his job. 7 is questionable. 7, depending on who it's with. But I don't like 7. If DJ's there and you get 7, nah, you're out.
Fire
him.
The line between fire his ass and coach of the year.
It's very thin. Right, it's very thin. Hey, absolutely.
Shout out Brodo. He was literally the first one in here, Shane. Jimbo was coach of the year because he ain't even got a coach and he still gets paid.
Did you see that video? Speaking of Florida, did you see Big Boy running up there at where was it? I think he's Tampa now.
Big Dez?
Yeah, Big Dez. He's cut, and people are just ragging. They're just like, oh man, how dare you? It's so damn hot out here. I'm like, this guy's getting paid $1 million a year. You know, if your Mike was paying me $1 million a year, I'd come in shape if that's what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? Thank God he doesn't have a weight limit here.
Hey, cousin Harry here, upset of the year. Kentucky beats Texas.
Hey, we're getting carried away here, you know.
I mean, I projected spread in that game.
26. Shit, I said 26 where I got it. And a half.
How about this one? Pooh Bear, upset of the year. Auburn beats Georgia. At home for Auburn.
Now, that one's going to be tough. But I mean, it's a home game. You know, it just depends. It really depends. I feel like Auburn is going to start out strong. We talked about this with Mike the other day. You know, we're in the meat of this schedule, A&M, Georgia, Mizzou. After that, man, the clouds kind of part. You know what I'm saying? There's a shot that you could run the board the next 4 weeks, and you're the hot team that everybody's talking about in November. But
and look what Georgia does, though, Shane. Tennessee, which yeah. I know they own Tennessee, but that's never a given. Bama owns their ass, and then you may overlook Kentucky, but Kentucky plays Georgia for some damn reason as well as anybody.
Yeah,
and then they got Ole Miss on the other side of it in Florida. So, if from a Georgia perspective. Auburn, I think, is the nightmare game here.
No wonder he's mad at Sankey. Look at that schedule. what a damn row. I mean, you got a lot of good home games. Season ticket holders going to get their money's worth this year. But, yeah, it's in a bad spot. No bye week right there. Coming off of Bama. You know, and say what you want. They play for some reason. That game's always close. I mean, it was close last year. It just seems like it always kind of hangs around. Yeah. So there's a shot you may be over. I don't want to say overlooking Auburn because I don't think that ever happens in a rivalry game. But I do think that it's a classic trap game, if you will, especially if Auburn trips out of the gate.
And so after someone picked Kentucky to beat Texas, Shane?
Yeah.
Hookup said, all right, time to talk food. It's getting out of hand.
Oh, hell yeah, man. We talk food all you want, man.
We'll save that for the mailbag later this week. You know what?
Yeah, don't get me off track. Gotcha. Noted.
Okay. No, I appreciate you, cousins, for helping us kind of extend this one a little bit. Yeah. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. Again, yeah, you know, more content coming. We're really trying to steer it towards the football. And, yes. And the you know, tomorrow we'll be hitting camps all across the SEC. More coaches will be speaking, more content coming your way. And hell, I may even have to, because here's the deal, Shane, right? So, during the off season, whatever you want to call it, you know, we kind of take it easy usually Friday, Saturday. But during these camp season, this is when these teams scrimmage. This is when they meet with the media. So you just never know. There's going to be content probably coming your way for the next couple months, Friday, Saturday, who knows? When the news happens, we're going to hit you up with it. So stay locked in. Like, share, subscribe. Doesn't cost you a thing, and it really helps us out. But that's all I got. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Vols. Get the hell out of here, Mike.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.